Most of us don't get behind the wheel of a car after drinking too much, but who doesn't talk on a cell phone when they drive? It's so convenient. Call the office from the road, check in on the kids, get the grocery list for dinner on the way home. What's not to like about this instant connectivity? Except this. New research about talking on a cell phone and driving is so scary that 6 states now ban handheld cell phones in the car. Is talking on your cell behind the wheel really the new drunk driving? I'm Kathleen McCoy, and today on Hometown Alaska, we'll look at the risk we take when we dial and drive with 3 local experts, a traffic cop, a behavioral psychologist, and a brain expert. But first, here's the news from National Public Radio.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. In his first address as president to the United Nations General Assembly, Barack Obama said that world leaders, rather than criticizing the U.S., need to join in solving some of the world's more pressing problems. Among the areas Mr. Obama touched on today, ridding the war of nuclear weapons.
Today, the threat of proliferation is growing in scope and complexity. If we fail to act, we will invite nuclear arms races in every region, and the prospect of wars and acts of terror on a scale that we can hardly imagine.
The president was among the first to speak at the gathering, which also featured a lengthy and at times rambling address from Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who's been highly critical of U.S. foreign policy, will also address summit attendees. The Fed says the economy is recovering, inflation is under control, and it will keep a key bank lending rate at near zero. NPR's Frank Langford has more.
The Federal Reserve said, quote, economic activity has picked up. But in a statement following its monthly meeting, the Fed Open Market Committee acknowledged the economy will remain weak amid continued layoffs. The unemployment rate is 9.7%, and many economists expect it to pass 10%. The Fed also said it would slow its purchase of $1.25 trillion in mortgage-backed securities and end the program early next year. With the economy apparently growing, the Fed is trying to pull back from its massive intervention in U.S. markets. But the Fed also wants to keep credit flowing to fuel the recovery. So it will continue to target its funds rate at the exceptionally low range of 0 to 0.25%. Frank Langford, NPR News, Washington.
Dry, hot, and windy weather in Southern California is fueling in another fast-burning wildfire. State officials say the blaze is only about 20% contained. More from NPR's Carrie Kahn.
The fire started north of Los Angeles in rural Ventura County, but is threatening several communities, including the town of Moore Park. CAL FIRE Incident Commander Robert Lewin says he's optimistic that the hundreds of firefighters on the line can contain the blaze by the end of the week.
We're giving this fire fight everything we can. We're trying to pick up the flanks of the fire that we can, where the wind is at our back. We're aggressively trying to protect those assets that are important on the head of the fire.
More than 1,000 homes are currently threatened by the fire. Evacuations around Moore Park have been ordered. Unfortunately, the blaze is burning in extremely dry brush. Temperatures are in the triple digits, humidity is very low, and hot winds are expected to pick up later today. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 81 points today, ending the session at 9,749. The Nasdaq lost 14 points. The S&P 500 was down 10 points today, closing at 1,060. This is NPR News. U.S. military leaders now are backing the assessment of the top military commander in Afghanistan that more troops are needed there. During remarks in Washington today, the head of the U.S. Central Command, General David Petraeus, along with Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, endorsed General Stanley McChrystal's assessment of the situation in Afghanistan. In his confidential assessment of the war leaked by the Washington Post earlier this week, McChrystal said the mission in Afghanistan is likely to fail without additional forces. In a pre-dawn heist, robbers in Stockholm, Sweden, broke into a security firm's cash depot after first making sure police could not follow them. One suspect is in custody. No word yet on how much money was taken. Larry Miller has the story.
The gang left suspected explosives at the Stockholm police helicopter hangar to discourage an airborne chase. A police spokesman said an object was found near their helicopter, so the decision was made not to fly. At the same time, the thieves used a stolen chopper to fly to a security firm's cash depot. Two men were lowered through a window on the roof while the helicopter hovered above. 15 minutes later, the robbers, carrying bags believed to be filled with stolen cash, were hoisted back into the helicopter. Witnesses reported hearing loud bangs during the heist, but it's not known if explosives were used. No one was injured in the raid. The thieves' helicopter was later found abandoned. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller.
Roughly a year after buying electronic data systems for nearly $14 billion, Hewlett-Packard says it is rebranding the company as HP Enterprise Services. With its purchase of EDS, founded by former presidential candidate Ross Perot, HP more than doubled the size of its technology services unit. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCoy, and we're back at Hometown Alaska, the new radio show about issues, trends, and interesting Alaskans. Our issue today is cell phones and driving. Can we really merge onto the busy Seward Highway or negotiate a left-hand turn against oncoming traffic while carrying on a conversation with someone somewhere else? To weigh in on this, we've got three guests. Lieutenant Ken Spadafora heads the traffic division at the Anchorage Police Department. He'll tell us what's legal and what's not. Hi, Ken.
Hi there.
We've got Eric Murphy, a behavioral psychologist and professor from UAA. Eric will help us look at that human impulse we have to constantly check our email and see who just called. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
And Mo Hillstrand is a local neurologist, nurse practitioner from the Alaska Neurology Center. She'll help us understand how the brain works and why talking and driving might be pushing our luck. Hi, Mo.
Thanks for inviting me.
And listeners, this is a conversation that includes you, so I hope you'll be a guest, too. Give us a call or drop us an email. In Anchorage, you can call 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, call 1-888-353-5752. And our email address is hometownalaska@kska.org. This program airs tonight at 10, but without the benefit of fresh phone calls. So if you want to weigh in, this hour is your chance. And one last bit of housekeeping. While researching today's topic, I found lots of interesting information about cell phones and driving and details on how other states are handling this and what Alaska law really is. So those links are all posted at kska.org for you to check out later. So let's get to the topic today. I opened the show by noting that six states have banned handheld cells in the car, and 21 states have banned all cell phones, handheld or hands-free, for novice drivers. Why? The research out of the University of Utah makes a pretty good case that drivers who talk on cell phones are at much greater risk of crashing their car. And they also say that people who talk and drive at the same time behave like a drunk driver with a blood alcohol level of about 0.08. It's getting serious enough that the Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood, is going to host a distracted driving summit in Washington, D.C. in about a week. So, you know, we're picking up some steam on this, and I want to go first to what's going on in our brains because that really interests me. I mean, we think we're capable of everything, but maybe we're not. And when I was reading, one image came to mind in one study that said the brain is actually capable of having a brownout if you're doing too much at once. And their image was, it's like plugging in an iron and a hairdryer at the same time and not getting enough juice for either one. So, Mo, what's going on in our brains when we try to talk on ourselves and drive?
Thanks. The brownout is a great analogy for that. We use different parts of our brain for different activities. And, for example, when we're driving, there are motor functions that we have to complete, you know, steering wheel and shifting and switching gears or changing lanes or whatever. And our vision is very important in doing all those things because we have spatial considerations, the meaning of what's in front of us as we're driving a car, you know, seeing a dog scurrying across the road or a moose like I saw crossing the road when I came here this afternoon is different than a car traveling essentially the same rate of speed as I'm going on in the same direction. So those all have different meaning, different spatial meanings, and I'm going to adjust my driving to compensate for those things. The portion of the brain that we use for vision is actually in the back of our head. Remember, our eyeballs are just cameras. They relay that information to the back of our brain where we figure out the meaning of things that are in front of us, the texture, the distance, the meaning, and so on.
How to interpret.
Spatial considerations, those are all very important. Mm-hmm. If something is going slower than we are, we're going to back off and so on. However, we also use different parts of our brain as well. The frontal portion of our brain is used for executive functioning. And that means that we see something with our occipital cortex and we interpret it, and then we have to make decisions based on what we see and understand. So executive function means I see this thing, now what am I going to do about it? What are my future options for dealing with this situation? Is it the moose? Do I need to slow down and put my flashes on for the car behind me? Is it a car going in the same direction? I don't really need to do anything about that.
Right.
But what happens when we're talking as opposed to listening, so, you know, it's different if we're listening to the radio and we're just listening to a talk show and we're not engaged with the person, we don't know what they look like, we're not really part of the conversation. Our brain,
you can almost check in and check out if you want.
Exactly. You're not engaged with that. Or even listening to a tape or a lecture when you're driving a long distance. You don't have to respond to that. You don't have to come up with language or sentences to interact with that mm-hmm. conversation.
It's really different if you're on the cell.
It's very different when you're on the cell, because when we're talking on a cell phone, a significant amount of our brain is refocused to the conversation pieces, which are in the middle portion of our brain. And so essentially that pulls energy, if you will, from the frontal portions of a brain, executive function, and from the
interpretation
occipital mm-hmm. portion where we interpret all what we see. So it's sucking the energy from one part of the brain to another part. And in fact, the studies show that when we look at something, we're using both eyes, and about 30% of that central vision is lost.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, we take all that for granted as we just, you know, roll down Lake Otis without even considering it. I'm wondering if some of our callers, you know, whether they've had this kind of experience where, you know, you end up in your driveway and you don't even remember getting there. Of course, that's without the distraction possibly, but with a distraction, you know.
But even so, when you go back and study those people and have them identify certain points that they were supposed to see during a driving simulation, they will come back and try to remember what points they saw during that driving simulation,
right.
That challenge. They will not remember.
Right, right. That's right.
Because they didn't actually see them. It didn't hit any piece of their brain to register.
And one of the things people talk about is, well, I talk with, you know, I drive my daughter around all over, and she and I have a conversation, and we don't have any problems. What's so different about a cell phone? Some of the things I've read, and I wonder if you guys have read this too, is that the passenger can actually interpret the driving situation along with you, and they might, you might not realize it, but they stop talking to you when it gets hairy, and then they start talking to you again when it's not hairy. I think that's one of the distinctions we have between the cell phone conversation and the in-car conversation. I'd like to remind our callers that if they'd like to get in on this conversation, and I hope you're not driving while you talk on your cell when you call us, we're at 550-8433, and outside Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752, and we can take your email questions as well at hometownalaska@kska.org. So anyway, back to this notion of the brain, some of the things that I read, this was from one study that I just thought was chilling enough to just sort of share with people. This is the University of Utah folks who have done about 10 years of studies on this. And this is a quote, cell phone conversations alter how drivers perceive and react to information in the driving environment. It's just what you're saying, Mo. We found cell phone drivers were more likely to fail to stop at a four-way intersection and more likely to be involved in rear-end collisions than drivers not using a cell phone. So, I don't know. It's interesting because it's such a tool to be able to be connected all the time. As I said when we got into the program, it was – just one more way to stay connected constantly. And yet it may be introducing a hazard into driving that we're really not aware of, and that's really why we want to talk about it. Let's see. Eric, you also, I know all about the brain because you and I have been talking about this, and you know mm-hmm. that there are these blindnesses that can sometimes yeah. happen. But one area I want to talk to you about a little bit is our compulsion to be in touch. Now, all these new tools are with us. I know you and I talked about Facebook and Twitter, and you know, you're not necessarily there, but there mm-hmm. are people in the world who are. You can get Twitter on your cell phone. You know, you can text and give a message to Twitter. You can stay connected all the time. So could you tell us a little bit about what that's about? Why are we changing as a species because there's so many opportunities to stay connected? What do you think?
Well, I don't think the problem is that the species is changing. It's our environment that has changed exponentially compared to what, you know, evolution has prepared us for. And it's probably no secret to any of the listeners or anybody in this room, but you know, people often engage in behaviors that result in some kind of immediate gratification, but in the long run is not really beneficial. And I think with technology, such as cell phones, for example, there's a small immediate reward associated with talking on the cell phone while driving or checking one's email or checking the weather conditions and so on, even though there's there's a risk of a collision that is four times the risk is if you weren't talking on a cell phone or distracted.
Right, right.
So I believe it's the immediacy of that reward.
Yeah, we just can't say no, right?
No.
Well, I'm going to talk with Jim. You're calling from Palmer, Jim, and you want to talk a little bit about pilots and how they're trained.
Well, I just thought maybe I'd ask the question if anybody's done any studies or if there might be some comparison between a driver who is trying to talk on a cell phone and a pilot who would be trying to talk on the radio, because certainly they have been both trained and professionally educated to be able to do both. So it seems like there's some potential for success in the pilot world to do those kind of cognitive things simultaneously, and perhaps we as drivers can learn to do the same, even though they can be distracting.
That's a great point. I just wanted to make note of the fact that some of the studies were funded by the FAA, so they're obviously
yeah.
interested in this topic. Mo, you said you've got something to say here.
I think that's a very good point. You know, when you're flying an aircraft, and let's just use an example that you're the pilot, and the interactions between the tower or radio communication are fairly short, and they're pretty standardized. You know, you're asking for weather, you're asking for permission to land or something like that. You know, it's short and sweet. It's to the point. And you can also ask for a sterile cockpit. So if you've got passengers in the aircraft in the cockpit with you, you can ask them to be quiet and not interrupt you. Whereas, you know, when somebody's talking on a cell phone, granted, you've got a number of different dimensions to move about in an aircraft, but you're right, pilots are trained to do that specifically, and the communication is short and sweet, to the point, and then you get off the radio. And you can certainly make the cockpit quiet so there's no further interruption. I think it's a little looser with a cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I want to ask Ken, who's a police officer, and because we've talked about how they have to get ready for all the multitasking. I know they're not flying their cars around the skies like a pilot is.
Yet.
But they may be, yeah, yet. But they may be moving pretty fast through some pretty hairy situations. So, Ken, tell us a little bit about how a police officer gets ready for that.
Well, I think the caller did identify the fact that multitasking does occur, and probably at the top end of that would be jet fighter pilots. It's amazing the amount of stuff they have to do. We train our officers. They have to sometimes drive at breakneck speeds, watch other cars, work the radio. They're looking at the computer screen, although we encourage them not to, but sometimes it's inevitable. And then they're also scanning for what we're being sent to. They're looking for the criminals, fleeing suspects, anything else that they need to observe. What we found is multitasking can be accomplished. A lot of folks we train for it. It becomes a breaking point for some of the recruits. Some officers, they just can't handle the multitasking. They might be very good at a single task or maybe two. But when they start to multitask, they lock up, they vapor lock, and they can't do anything. But what we did find is even our officers that have been around for a while, and they multitask on quite a few different actions, we do admit that if you're doing six or seven things at once, you're not going to be as good as if you were doing just one thing. So we have to recognize the fact that, yes, although we can do 7 or 8 functions at one time while we're driving at 90 miles an hour, we have to accept the fact that we might miss something, especially when we're driving. So we do it cautiously, and it takes a lot of practice, but we're hanging out there, and we need to know our limits.
Alexis, you're on Hometown Alaska, and you've got a question about texting, and we really haven't gotten there yet, but why don't you tell us what's on your mind?
Well, I am a teenager who has a cell phone and texts about 1,000 text messages a month, if not more. And
I'm impressed.
I just think, what is your guys' take on, I know, you know, like in most states, it's against the law to text while you're driving, but why do you think people do it anyway when they can just, you know, pull over to the side of the road and take care of their business that way?
Well, I think that sort of goes to Eric's point. Eric, what do you have to say about that?
I think it's, you know, texting provides an instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we're really sensitive to small immediate rewards, such as texting, answering the telephone in the car, and so on.
Feeling popular. Right?
Yeah, whereas, you know, like you mentioned, that it's probably better that they pull over and do that activity. But that also imposes a temporal delay on when you can get your reward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the best thing to do is just turn off the cell phone and put it in your trunk.
In other words, don't let yourself be tempted.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So make a true commitment not to do it.
One of the things we mentioned earlier before we really got started is that the brain itself isn't finished growing till we're 26 or so.
Yeah.
So you've got that limit as well as somebody who's new to driving, which takes lots of different activities and portions of one's brain. And to try and think about texting and driving at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just terrifying.
Alexis, do you...
It is, and I got into a car accident in March, and the person who hit me, he was an older gentleman, probably in his 40s, and the cop, the cool thing that I think that the police officers can do is, and when you're involved in an accident or whatever, they ask, were you on your cell phone or were you texting? And if you say no to them, they can look in your phone, you know, and see when the last text message was sent or received or the phone call was made.
Right.
So I do have to give that to the Anchorage Police Department. I want to thank them for doing that because that is partly what helped me win my case for my car accident.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So I'm glad to hear that you're not texting and driving, and I hope you can spread the word.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. That's great.
I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Alexis. Let's see. I wondered, one of my thoughts was this question of whether we can get better at this as we go along. And I did find this one study that Stanford just did. It was just on the front page of the paper. Probably lots of people saw it. And they were asking the question whether multitaskers are gifted. You know, they're able to do a lot more. And what the study ended up showing was that they were worse at just about everything and that people who were able to focus accomplished their tasks at a higher level. So I'm really wondering if we can get better at it. And I know that you train officers can to do this, but what kind of experiences have you had when they don't, you know, is there sort of a plateau? Is there a sort of a gradient they go up as they get more confident? What's the ticket to getting better at it?
Well, it's practice, but when we use the term getting better, I think you hit on something there. We continue to do more and more because the demands of our job requires to do it. We'd prefer to be doing one of those tasks by itself so we could do much better at that single task. But when the demands require more tasks, we have to learn to multitask, and we realize that, like I was using the example of driving, if we start looking at the screen, we start talking on the phone or the radio, it's taken away from the action that could probably kill us, which is watching where we're going and being able to handle something the last second.
We want to get there in one piece. Yeah. I just want to remind our listeners that we're on Hometown Alaska. This is a new show about issues and trends and interesting Alaskans, and I happen to have three of them here with me today, and they're all experts about this new phenomenon of driving and talking on your cell phone at the same time. And I'd like to invite people to call us at 550-8433 outside Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, or email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. All right, so back to the topic. Yes, Ken, what's on your mind?
Kathleen, the last caller, she was asking, well, why do people do it anyway? Well, what we find in our job more than anything else, when somebody becomes either involved in an accident or a victim of a particular crime or something, is if we had a nickel for every time we heard this, we'd be pretty rich. I didn't think it could happen to me. You know, mm-hmm. I thought I could handle it, or I didn't think somebody coming to my house. I mean, it's people just don't think it's going to happen to them until it's too late.
They somehow feel invulnerable. I know as I talk to people about this topic, a lot of people said, I'm not doing it anymore because I just got my cell phone, my iPhone actually, and I was learning how to use it while I was driving and I went over the median and I didn't hit anybody. But, so lots of people had stories like that where they had had their own moment of mm-hmm. truth, I guess, and had decided not to do it anymore. So,
absolutely.
But you're right. We have this sort of sense of, I've read about that in the magazine, but it's not going to happen to me, right?
Yeah. Related to that, there was a survey of college students that was published a few years ago, and the majority of them use cell phones, and the majority of them recognize that using a cell phone while driving was dangerous. But when asked what their own confidence level was on driving while talking on a cell phone, they rated themselves as quite high. So people overestimate, what their competence is in that task, even though the data show that people are going to have a detrimental impact on the performance when they're doing a dual task like that.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So we think we're doing better than we actually are. That could lead us right down a very bad road.
Very bad road.
That's great. Some of the things I wanted to share with people was some of the studies show, this is the way you behave when you're on a cell phone, and the studies have sort of shown this, that you start to drive slower. You don't even realize that you're doing it, but you're kind of driving slower. You're slower to hit the brakes.
Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a study that shows you have reaction time 20% less effective.
Which is really scary.
20% reduction in effective at reaction time.
Mm-hmm. And if there's something you need to react to quickly and you don't even see it for several seconds or aren't aware of it for several seconds.
Or you see it and you have that
delay.
The blindness. Blink.
Intentional blindness or unintentional blindness.
Yeah. So you've just sort of cut out some of the time you have to save yourself, drive defensively, be a safe driver. So that's just awful. The study showed that three of the participants, and this is the University of Utah, they're in a simulator, but they rear-ended the car in front of them. And they were not the drunk drivers. They were simply the cell phone drivers. So I think that's interesting. In fact, Ken and I talked about this yesterday. The study was interesting because they allowed people to drive with no distraction. Then they allowed them to drive with a handheld cell phone, then a hands-free cell phone. Mm-hmm. And then they gave them vodka and orange juice until they were 0.08. And basically, the cell phone drivers were actually doing worse than the drunk drivers. Not that we think it's okay to drive drunk. Dixie wants to talk to us about being involved in an accident. Go ahead and tell us, Dixie, what's the story?
This past July this year, downtown, I was at a traffic light, and just as it turned, I proceeded in the intersection and got hit by a car running the red light. And afterwards, he came up to me and said he was sorry that he was on his cell phone.
Ouch.
And I'm wondering, are we keeping track here in Anchorage or the state regarding, the motor vehicle accidents caused by cell phone use?
Well, Dixie, there's one study that we did find when we did some research on this. It was done by the Department of Transportation, the Alaska Highway Safety Office, and a research analyst named Joanna Reed pointed it out to me. It looked at crashes involving cell phones from 2002 to 2006, a four-year period, not immediately. It's a little bit behind our historical here. But there were 289 accidents. There were 789 people injured. Now, 19 of them were seriously injured, and 171 were mildly injured, and there were 500 without injuries. So that sort of tells you why some of us might be taking that risk. And to Eric's point about the young drivers, the study showed that people ages 16 to 25 were having the largest number of problems with their cell phones and driving. So, yeah, that's the most recent study that I was able to find in our state.
The other material that I was reviewing for this discussion today showed the insurance companies keep close track of that as well.
That's right. I think their alarm bells are going off, and they're starting to, you know, pay attention. Certainly in many states, I think it's 21 states, don't allow novice drivers to use any kind of a cell phone. And so we in our state, we have a graduated license, and I mentioned that there has been one move to perhaps limit all cell phone use for novice drivers. It was a House bill last year that ended up in the Finance Committee. Who knows whether anything will happen with that, but that was one effort to sort of deal with that.
Okay.
So, Dixie, how are you? Are you all right?
Yes.
Good. Good.
Okay. I'm still dealing with all the various problems of the accident. Yes.
Wow. That's a good example of why we might want to not use our cell phones, right?
Exactly. So, right.
Well, thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Great to hear from you. Wow.
So we briefly discussed about handheld cell phones versus hands-free cell phones. And, you know, it's back to the original discussion that we had about the use of the brain. It doesn't matter if it's handheld or hands-free. Mm-hmm. The idea is that you are using different portions of your brain, excluding portions of the executive function and the visual portions of the brain. So there's no difference in the number of automobile crashes, whether you're using a handheld or without hands.
Hands-free, even though many states have went to hands-free, as some kind of safe, it's okay if it's hands-free.
It's like the little boy whistling in the dark.
Right. Yeah. And some studies suggest that that's actually more harmful because people might feel more self-confident. They might think, hey, I'm following the law. It's okay if I do this. And they're not really aware of all the things you just told us, Mo, about how we're forming words in one part of our brain and, needing to interpret information in front of us. All that stuff that's going on in our brain at the same time. So it sounds like the scientists are pretty confident that there's no difference between handheld and hands-free.
There is a small advantage to the hands-free units, and that is it does free up both hands to deal with the mechanical actions required to drive, especially in slippery conditions. What we find is a lot of people that are holding a phone up to their ear, it also obstructs their vision, too. If you notice, a lot of people up here, they have it up to the left side of their head, the drivers, and it really is obscuring their vision off to that side of the vehicle. And nobody really needs their hands until their vehicle experiences a blowout, they get in an accident, they try and keep it on the road. And if you've got one hand tied up on a telephone, that's one less hand to help you regain control of your car. So there's some advantages to it. But I agree, as far as the brain's concerned, it's still whatever units of brain power you have, for layman's terms. If you have 10 units and you throw 3 of them to your phone conversation, that's 3 less that's going to apply to your driving.
Give your driving some juice.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a little break. This is Hometown Alaska. We're talking about cell phones and driving and what goes on in the brain when we do that. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you. I'm Kathleen McCoy, and we're on Hometown Alaska. I want to remind our callers they can join this conversation about cell phones and driving. If you're in Anchorage, it's 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. And we can also take emails at hometownalaska@kska.org. Now, Sheila is a self-confessed multitasker. What's your story, Sheila?
Well, I actually have two things to share with you. One, as a multitasker, I have kind of followed the study on multitasking, and I think it's kind of ridiculous in the context that life is not singular. And as a single mom raising kids and working, it was never possible to be anything but a multitasker. So I don't think that the, you know, it's kind of an odd study that says, well, it's just you don't do things well. In that people are required by life to multitask, and just getting to driving, it's multitasking. And as a multitasker who drives, I think it would definitely be safer if we weren't talking on our phones. But I think the, you know, the issue of that other issue kind of probably ought to be examined more carefully, because I think most multitaskers are multitaskers out of necessity.
I understand what you're saying, and I just want to remind our guests, our audience, that we've got three guests. Eric Murphy is a behavioral psychologist who probably knows a lot about what you're talking about, and Mo Hilstrand and Ken Spadafora from the police department. You're sort of saying that we don't really have a choice, sounds like.
Yeah. No, and actually, I think the officers pointed out, well, yeah, it'd be great, you know, if he didn't have to multitask, but there are expectations associated with his job that require it. And, you know, and so that's that multitasking issue. The second issue, and of course, the point of the program today, is this issue of public safety on the highways. And whether you're a multitasker or not a multitasker, when you add more things, you have less attention to spread on what's in front of you. And, you know, so I think it's reasonable to say, yeah, driving along and dialing, in particular, it's terrifying to think that people are text messaging, is not going to make our highways safer. But I, you know, I'm not sure that the issue is multitaskers or non-multitaskers. When we get in the car, we're all multitasking.
Right. And, you know, Ken Spadafora talked about how this is just one of many things people are doing in the car. They're eating, they're putting on makeup, they are, you know, they have pets in the back seat. And there's just a lot going on in cars. Well, and go ahead.
Well, just the idea is, you know, you'll drive down the road and see somebody with a dog in their lap eating a hamburger.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
It's this issue of how invasive as a government we can be about what you do in your car. And it seems to me that there's definitely enough data that shows that using your cell phone affects the outcome. So anyhow, I appreciate the show. I'm excited that you're on, and I just thought I'd share my thoughts.
Well, thanks a lot for calling. That made some really good points. And we got an email that I think is really worth sharing with everybody. A woman, Marianne Call, tweeted in that, how about this as a solution? When people are on their cell phone in their car, a yellow light will go on outside their car, so people driving along beside them might know that, look out. It's almost like having a student driver sign in the back of your car, you know, driver on cell. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think we'd all be blinded by the yellow light.
We'd be shocked to see how much of it is actually going on.
Yeah,
you're probably right. Well, let's see.
I'd like to point out that I don't know if we've talked about it. You and I talked about it yesterday. If most people haven't figured out from this conversation, it is legal to drive with, to use your telephone, your cell phone.
In Alaska.
In Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
It's not legal to text or use any device that has a screen other than your cell phone. And the only thing you can observe on that phone is the caller ID information, the
right. You're not really allowed to open the message or do anything else.
But even though I think the gist of this conversation is, even though it's legal, we encourage people, if you don't have to, don't do it. You can spend that much more time concentrating on driving safer and getting to your destination.
Right. We've got State Representative Berta Gardner on the phone. And, Berta, you're here to talk about a bill you introduced.
Yes, that's right. I was so excited when I turned on the radio and heard what you're talking about. And House Bill 15, which I introduced last year, and it's still live, is stalled in the House Finance Committee. What the bill would do is say that teenagers cannot talk on their cell phones while they're driving.
And the reason I did it this way is, politics being the art of the possible, I thought, let's start out with something that I think very few people would argue against. And, you know, the bill might be changed during the committee process to apply to all drivers, but I introduced it to apply just to teenagers. And my thought was, well, in a few years, we can take a look at statistics and see if we, you know, if we've accomplished anything with that, and I expect we will, and then keep the conversation going. But my bill is stuck, and the co-chair of finance told me he has no intention of moving it out. So I hope that listeners who care about this issue will contact the Finance Committee and ask them to hear House Bill 15.
Well, that's a very good point. We have a graduated license law, and perhaps it could be melded into that, where as you become a more skilled driver, you can, you know, perhaps add more things to your repertoire of what you can do in the car. Well, that sounds like great information, and I saw that it got to the House Finance Committee, but I didn't know what happened after that, so it's good to know that it's still live.
Yeah. Well, it's only live, but in the sense that the representative of the co-chair's finance told me he has no intention of moving it.
Well, that's one person.
For reasons unrelated to the content of the bill.
Right.
But he would to explain any further. So.
Well, you know, in addition to drivers becoming concerned, we talked here earlier about insurance companies becoming concerned. There's more mm-hmm. constituencies here than you might realize as time goes on here, and we experience some difficult, you know, situations with people and their cell phones and cars. So,
that's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you for holding the show.
Oh, great. Good. I'm glad you like the topic. Something else I wanted to share with you guys, which is a little more positive view of people who are can't not check their email. This is, again, the Stanford study about multitaskers, but they had a nice way of referring to people who have to get information, and they refer to them as heavy multitaskers, as explorers, because they enjoy the constant hunt for information. I thought that was sort of a nice way of talking about. I'm not sure, you know, that that's really what's going on all the time. I think I know the multitasking study I looked at, people couldn't really evaluate what they were seeing. They were just attracted to it. So I don't know, this idea of the explorer getting new information, can they really evaluate the information, or is it just kind of flying by? So I don't know. But I kind of liked thinking that we were explorers. Let's see. One other thing that I thought was interesting that I read was, comes from like a trade organization of insurance companies, and they have been polling people, asking them, and they think they polled 1,500 people and found out that about 48% of them are worried about somebody in their family and the way they multitask and drive. Mm. And so, you know, even though we you know, personally feel like we're okay, we might have a family member that's kind of panicky about knowing we're behind the wheel and the way we behave with our cell phone. In fact, there was a great quote. Let me see if I can find it here. It was going to Eric's experience. This is from the New York Times, and this is a guy. He says, even if I'm going 60 miles an hour, I feel the need to check my cell phone. It might be spam, a wrong number, whatever. But who cares? My cell vibrates, I respond. So that's a worst-case situation, I think. So
especially at 60 miles an hour.
Exactly. At 60 miles. And, you know, with maybe something suddenly happening in your field of vision that you don't, you know, interpret, as Mo pointed out. Mary's on the line, and she wants to tell us about the human race surviving without having to drive. Now, what's that about, Mary?
It isn't without having to drive. It's without having to do two fairly important things at once.
Ah, the split brain.
10,000 years ago, when the man was out hunting for food or his wife was out picking berries, she wasn't paying attention to everything else. She was looking for berries. She was maybe aware of sounds around her so she didn't get eaten, but it wasn't the same thing as driving at a high rate of speed down the road, not paying attention to the other automobiles, weather conditions, pedestrians, loose pets, whatever else it is on the road, and doing your car at the same time.
Well, Mary, do you think we have a choice now? Do you think we're so much busier than we were when we were picking berries?
We need to reorganize our lives and cut out a certain number of extraneous things. I do a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I do not own a cell phone. I'm not interested in owning a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I get all of my things done, my recreational activities,
my animals taken care of, my neighbors taken, you know. I interact with my neighbors and the children in the neighborhood because I'm a single older female. I do all of these wonderful things without having to rely on the gabble of a cell phone.
Right. You feel socially connected and on top of your world without your cell phone, without even having a cell phone. Well, I think you make a great point. Lots of the studies show that if we focus on one thing, we actually do better at that than if we...
They tell us that we have to be connected at all times. If you're so lonely, you have to be connected to somebody else at all times. You've got a more serious problem than you know about.
Hmm, interesting. All right. Well, Mary, thank you so much for weighing in. I really appreciate hearing from you.
Okay. Thank you.
It's just amazing to me that, you know, so many people have such different reactions. And, you know, really, I think the audience is fairly conservative. I thought I might hear more from people who were saying, I'm good at it, you know, and you old fogies who don't know how to do it, that's your problem, you know. One study I saw also pointed out that something like, this is from 2006, 100 million people are in their cars with cell phones. At any given time, there's probably 8% of them talking. Now, that was a couple years ago, so... And so the study pointed out that the 92 who aren't on their cell phones are helping us along with this by watching out for those people. It sort of goes to Marianne Call's point about having a light on the top of your car so people know what's going on. Let's see. Eric, you've got cell phones on your mind. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I mean, besides being really very irritating behind somebody on a cell phone, there was an accident recently on 36 in Arctic involving a police officer and a pedestrian. I'd like to know whether that was investigated, whether he was on a cell phone, texting on his computer, and what. I know that they have exemptions, but how many exemptions do you need to drive safely?
Do you know about that, Ken?
Yes, I do. I can't comment too much on a case. It's still on investigation, but I can assure you the officer was not on his phone, he was not using the radio, and he was not on his computer.
Okay. Thanks.
So thanks a lot, Eric, for calling in. All right, folks, what else can we talk about in terms of this brain and this multitasking? What about you, Ken? You look like you have something.
Well, one thing I'd like to put out there for the folks is that if you do cause an accident and you're on your cell phone, you are guilty of careless driving. For not paying attention. It could be the same thing as eating while you're driving, getting distracted for whatever reason. You need to pay attention out there. It's not really going to matter. We had a pretty serious accident where someone died, and they were eating their breakfast at the time.
And, while they were driving.
While they were driving, and went right through a red light. And that is one of the common reactions. Well, we see a lot out there with people driving. Again, it gets back to the can't happen to me. But a lot of people drive the same route day in and day out, and they get mechanically programmed. I'm going to stop at this light. I'm going to turn at this intersection. What we see a lot of times is people at the last minute getting halfway through an intersection, hitting the brakes, going through lights, and basically it's going against their programming. Their cell phone distracted them. They got into an intense conversation, and we can see it. We see people on the phone all the time.
Yeah.
And so we know, and it's a good indicator when you see somebody with their phone up to their ear. Then they make an abrupt move, and the phone immediately comes down, and they look startled trying to figure out what they did wrong. Well, they got too engaged in the phone.
Right.
But,
you and I had this conversation the other day about, you know, if you've got 10 seconds to respond to something, and if you're on your cell and or even texting and you're not even seeing the vision, you know, you might have – there was this whole idea of it's really your reaction time that we're talking about here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the study that compared drivers to drunk drivers, cell phone drivers to drunk drivers, which is sort of a radical thing to do because you think so many people wouldn't get behind the wheel of a car when they were impaired by alcohol, but many feel compelled.
Yeah. I don't want people to think that if you're on your cell phone, the police are going to treat you like a criminal, you know, mm-hmm. a drunk driver. But mm-hmm. what you are doing is you're causing your reaction time to be slowed down to the levels of drunk drivers. Because and the more heated your conversation is, or whatever act you're taking part in, participating in, it's not driving, it will draw you away. If it takes 10 seconds to recognize a problem and then react to it, I'm using 10 seconds as big whole numbers, if you spend 6 seconds before you even perceive the problem and you only have a couple seconds left to react, you're not going to – it might be too late. Whereas if you're concentrating on your driving and you recognize a problem within the first second, that gives you quite a cushion to be able to react. And
you might need that cushion.
And you might need
it. Yeah. Alexis is back with us. She was the teenager who talked to us a little while ago. Alexis, what's on your mind again?
I have a question for the police officer. Do you think from the police, the APD's point of stand, do you think the number of crashes over, say, the past 7 years have gone down or increased because of talking on the cell phone?
Well, this study that we're referring to here, it shows that there's 289 crashes over this time period that are attributed to cell phone use. It's possible that all 289 could have been avoided without being involved with a cell phone. Now, I don't have the details of that study, so I don't know what type of involvement are being referred to. But if those refer to 289 crashes where the at-fault driver was on the cell phone, it's very possible 289 crashes could have been avoided. Now, I don't believe that all 289 may have been the at-fault driver.
But yeah.
Even if just a few are. And if somebody got hurt and it's just one, or if somebody got killed and one accident could have been prevented by staying off the cell phone and somebody's life could have been saved, that's a good incentive for most people to concentrate on the driving.
That's a good point. And, you know, Alexis, the data does show that younger drivers are having more problems with this. When we did look at that one study from Alaska, it showed that 16 to 25-year-old drivers were having the most incidents. We don't have a lot of details on how the cell phone was involved in that accident, but we do know that it was. Ken, what's?
There's one thing that I wish a lot of people would think about. I was talking earlier about how it can't happen to me. Well, one of the saddest things that we experience is when a motorist runs over a small child. And if it ever happens because somebody's on a telephone or they're eating their breakfast, not many people think about how the rest of their life's going to be affected by that. That's going to be something that it's just almost impossible to live with if you end up taking an innocent child's life because you weren't paying attention to your driving. And I don't know how many drivers we come across. There's a lot of young kids that get hit, and luckily a lot of them are still alive and they didn't suffer serious injury. But the look on those drivers' faces when we get there about they're just in shock that they came real close to killing this child. And it was by their actions behind the wheel of the car. So it's going to be very difficult if people don't pay attention and have to live with something like that.
You know, I got interested in this topic by reading the New York Times had a whole series called Distracted Driving. And one of the opening stories dealt with a young man who was 20, 21, very great young guy, you know, basically careful guy. One of his neighbors was looking for a dresser, and he happened to have been at the Salvation Army, so he saw a dresser, and he was in his truck, and he decided to dial his neighbor and tell her about the dresser, and he ran a stop sign and killed a woman. And, you know, he does have to live with that for the rest of his life, and you know, it's just not the thing that he planned in his life. So I guess it's just step back a little. Take a deep breath and think about how you want your life to go, and maybe that instant gratification isn't really all that worth it.
No, it rarely is.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes it takes a little, I don't know, experience in life to come to grips with that idea. So,
yep.
Anyway, I'm on the phone. This is Hometown Alaska. Our topic today is cell phones and driving, and we've had a lot of callers, and I really appreciate that. I want to thank Ken Spadafora from the APD Traffic Division. They see a lot of this. They know about it. And they also have to do a lot of multitasking in their vehicles.
Glad to be here.
You were great. And Mo Hillstrand, all about the brain. And I did not realize how much was going on while I blithely go down the street with my latte in one hand and my stick shift. You know? So it's really something to think about and actually appreciate. You know, when you don't really know how something works, you don't think about it. And then when you realize how much is going on, you really kind of, you're in awe of it.
It's phenomenal how much we take our brains for granted.
Yeah, yeah. And it goes on without you thinking about it, you know, really.
No, you really do have to think about it.
Well, I mean, what's going on in your, you know, like the idea that I see a child on a bicycle in front
sure.
of me. I'm not really realizing until listening to you that essentially there's a lot of interpretation going on by my brain. And you know, for
lots
me to
lots of
actually,
electrical circuits.
Exactly. So, so thanks very much, Mo, for taking time out of, I know, a very busy schedule to be with us and share this information with our listeners. And Eric. Eric teaches over at the university, and we happen to catch him on a day when he isn't teaching and in the lab all day. So thanks a lot, Eric. And I think all of you really gave us a lot of good things to think about. And we also actually have some more email coming in, so I just want to share some of that with you. Here's what one listener says. It astounds me every time I hear a discussion or results of a research project regarding this subject. Of course it's dangerous. Of course your focus isn't on the road. Why is this even an issue? Is that because everyone, including public servants, except me, does it? Exactly how much of my tax dollars went to this ridiculous study that states the obvious? Well, there's an awful lot of studies. There was one study in Alaska, but there's University of Utah, I think Virginia, University of Virginia, Harvard, the studies
New York,
are
yeah, they're all over the country.
Michigan.
I know some folks have said, well, we don't have the accident numbers to really force the issue, but the scientists are sort of ahead of us on this, you know, sort of studying how the brain reacts, and lots of people don't want to wait for the accident numbers to get so scary. So I don't know. It's an interesting point. I know some people could argue, gosh, you can't regulate everything. You can't have rules for everything. But education is part of people understanding what's going on, which is what we tried to do here today. Some enforcement. We've got a bill, House Bill 15, that might move in our own state. It's certainly a good topic. I think we're going to hear a lot more about it, before things change. And I just want to let folks know that this program will air again tonight at 10. You can't call in then. This is just a pre-recorded rebroadcast of it. And I also want to let you know that next week, Charles Wolforth is going to be your host on Hometown Alaska, and he's going to be talking about migration and how it made our state, how people moving into our state affected it, and how that's going to change our future. And in the meantime, I guess I just want people to think a little bit about what they're doing when they're behind the wheel of a car, and I'm just going to ask our guests if there's anything they want to leave with people. I know we tried to let them know that texting is illegal in our state. Talking on a cell phone is legal in our state. Anything else, Ken?
Yes, just be aware that using your cell phone is taken away from your attention towards your safety. So everything has a cost, and the more you spread your attention out there on the road, the bigger the chance you have of getting an accident or hurting somebody.
Okay, and Mo, how about you? Anything you want to...
Interestingly, there's a lot more studies going on with the brain. The functional MRIs are coming out. We don't have those here in Alaska yet, but they're doing more studies on how much of the brain is involved with different tasks. I think we're discussing cell phones, handheld conversations, and so on. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how about you, Eric? Anything?
No. I think that Ken pretty much summarized it. Just don't do it.
Okay.
Even if you think you're good at it.
All right.
Try to avoid the instant gratification and, look for the larger later outcome.
All right.
Of being safe.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you all for listening and calling in and our experts today. This is Hometown Alaska. Drive safe. Bye-bye.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated News and Public Media. An archived copy of today's program, additional information, and links to all the websites mentioned on today's show are available online at kska.org. Send us your comments and suggestions of things you'd like to talk about at Hometown Alaska, 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. This is KSKA Anchorage.